Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
This is Radio City Talk.
I'm Steve Hothersall. This is the kickoff. We've got David Fahili and Graham White, the Everton pitch announcer. He's still with us, so we'll involve him. It's nice to have them both here. Nice to see David Fahili in the studio as well. Right, in the Echo today and in a few of the papers as well, they're talking about Tom Cleverley and his reintroduction into the England squad there. Of course, 40 England players got together at St George's Park last night, the National Football Centre in Burton. It's a soulless place. I've been there many, many times. I'm not sure the squad would be delighted to be there. But Cleverley joining up with Phil Jagielka, Leighton Baines, John Stones, Ross Barkley. In the next 4 months, we're going to have a plethora of England conversations going around this Everton squad. Mm-hmm. Tom Cleverley really got a chance with England?
He's earned it.
Or not?
He's earned it, definitely, in my opinion. He's earned it. He's definitely earned it. This season, Tom Cleverley came in with the amount of scepticism what came with that lad's transfer, just because he'd been a Man United player and it was like that, and it was, oh, he's not going back there and so on and through that. And that kid, honest to God, I met him after, it might have been the Watford game. It was the Watford game. Really took us in a box, me and Mullen. And at the end of the game, you know, the way they all go down, the players were walking across the pitch, and him and James McCarthy walked across the pitch about 10 yards from me, and I shouted, Tom, me and Mullen standing on the thing, I said, Tom, he turned around, him, his beard, and James McCarthy, and I said, lad, he goes, what? I said, you've just won the lottery of life, lad. The toffees, lad, like that. And he started laughing.
And are you thinking, who's this lad who's off his head?
The next game, off the top of my head, the next game we played off the top of my head was Southampton away. And we won 3-0, and I took the Borley kids, and Tom Cleverley was absolutely magnificent. Tom Cleverley might have been man of the match, by the way. And then shortly after that, he got injured. He allowed us to have a left side. Don't forget, we were still in a transfer window, and Lennon hadn't come by that time, and Delafeo had only just got there, and he wasn't playing Delafeo from the start. He was giving him 5 minutes, actually, in the first 4 or 5 games. Well, that kid came, and Brendan Galloway was at left back. And Brendan Galloway's a centre-half. He's a centre-half, not a left-back. And Tom Cleverley ushered him through, schooled him through. And Tom Cleverley's been sound for us.
If he'd maintained his fitness throughout the entire course of his Everton days, do you think we would have seen... I'm not saying he's not an exceptional player now, but do you think that would have had a dramatic influence overall on the whole team?
I think it would have helped us loads. We've lost... Look at Bezic. Bezic gets in the side, finally gets a shirt. The kids are all going mad for him. 4 games later, he's out again. That's kind of been us. James McCarthy's been in and out all season. I come on here every week and say to you that Gareth Barry has invariably been man of the match in whatever.
He's the best player
he's
for the
been
season,
fantastic.
Isn't he?
Fantastic. But if you could have had... It's kind of been that season, that two-step forward, one-step back kind of season. If only with this had happened, that had happened. But as I just said to you 5 minutes ago, we're in the middle of, approaching the middle of February, and all things are still possible, or many things are still possible. So you look at the positives and science.
David, I think it shows how much experience can play a part in a team. I think it also shows what Liverpool have lacked in sort of their camp. You're talking about a Cleverley, you're talking about a Barry. You know, Barry could have been a Liverpool player many moons ago.
They wanted him to be.
It's interesting how those sorts of players can have a dramatic overall effect on a squad.
Well, then, I'll give you an example of it this very season. When we lost Jagielka, who at the time, in my opinion, was better than John Stones. He was the best. This season, until he got hurt, he was the best English centre-half playing in this league. And I'm not really a John Terry fan. He's been a good player over the years. But I can't have him at this age now, to be honest with you. And when we lost Jagielka, we lost our leader. We lost someone who'll shout. And he's not Peter Reid. But he is in this team. He's the lad who does that. And we suffered because of it. Not because they were two young'uns playing centre-half, which I also said to you that would happen over the time. It's not so much that. It's the decision-making, the split-second decision-making. And therein lies the experience. Obviously, that's how you pick it up. That's how you get better. And that is why Gareth Barry has prospered. Jordan that period with Jagi Elka being out.
There's no doubt some of the older statesmen within the squad can make a difference. Graham, when you're doing the pitch announcing, you see some of these guys on the bench, they're right in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, if a Cleverley is there, do they sort of command a bit more of the attention from maybe the younger members of the squad, or, you know, are they almost sort of vice lieutenants to Roberto?
Yeah, I mean, you sit there and I sit literally right behind the dugout, and you kind of look at the Leon Osmonds when he's on the bench talking to the players that are about to come on, and that experience. Or Leighton Baines has been on the bench the last couple of weeks, and you know, when the Graham Jones, the assistant manager, turns around and is looking for people to go and warm up, and you can see kind of the players talking, and Ozzy's great for talking to people, and you can see when the player's been told to kind of get stripped off and come on, that kind of arm round the shoulder to say, go on, go out there and do it. And you know, that's good to see.
Well, that's what we need. I've just said to you 2 minutes ago, our manager's 42. He's already won. You know, we've got to understand that this whole project is a learning process. The average age of the side's 23. We've had 19-year-olds playing regularly in this team this season. You know, we do build around youth, so with that comes naivety and inexperience and things. But if we move together as a group, if he could have a mentor, that's what I'd say to him, in the same way as he did with Romelu Lukaku, where he identified with Romelu Lukaku, all the building blocks were there. So then he brings Duncan Ferguson, who's got no coaching experience whatsoever, and promotes him to the first team and basically says to him, see him, that's your job.
Look after him.
And now look at the difference.
Let's relate that to Liverpool. Let's introduce a lady who I met earlier this week. Terrific lady, and works on the Anfield Index week in, week out. They've got a great app and a podcast and a website as well. So let's welcome Nina Cowser to the show. Morning to you, Nina.
Morning. Thank you for having me on.
No problems at all. We're just talking there with David Fahili, massive Everton fan, just about the influence of elder statesmen. I want to call them that. I think that's fair enough. The likes of Tom Cleverley, Gareth Barry, Phil Jagielka, Leon Osman. They've got a good sprinkling of those players who've done it over a period of time and are an influence. And I wonder whether that's what Liverpool are missing, in a way, at the moment.
You know what? It ties up so nicely to a piece that I wrote for the Anfield Index. And one of my key concerns for this very young Liverpool side, this very young, inexperienced Liverpool side, is the lack of leaders. The lack of experience. Yes, we do have, you know, the likes of James Milner and Lucas Leiva and Henderson to some degree, but what I find is with say somebody like Milner, who has probably the most impressive CV and maybe a Carlo Torre as well. With Carlo Torre, he's towards the end of his career. He's sort of a stopgap kind of player. Milner was pretty much a substitute at Manchester City, wasn't a regular starter. And you look at people like Lucas Leiva, who haven't won an awful lot in the game, bar the Capital One Cup back in 2012, and then you look at Henderson, and he's just come into his captaincy after taking over from Steven Gerrard, and you kind of look back to see Steven Gerrard when he became captain, and he had so much experience around him to help him in that role, and I just kind of feel like Henderson is sort of fighting a bit of an uphill battle there, and the youngsters really don't have anyone to mentor them on the pitch, no one that they can really look up to in that regard, and I think also that is sort of it's a concern. However, if you then look at the manager, for example, and Jurgen Klopp, and certainly his time at Dortmund, and when he won the Bundesliga back in 2010-2011 season, he won the Bundesliga with I think potentially one of the youngest teams to ever win it. So it's not a concern for the manager, but it's a concern for Liverpool fans and Liverpool as a club, because we're used to having these iconic great legendary leaders.
So whilst we all go on about buying big name players, Teixeiras, your £30 million players, I suspect there are some people who would think, when you get to the transfer window again, have a look and try and find the Gareth Barry gems. Try and find it. And of course, they got one in the James Milner. They sort of broke the mould, that sense that they would only buy young players, wasn't it, a year ago? Then they went out and they bought James Milner. They knew they needed experience. There's probably a feeling that they probably need a bit more of that. They need a couple more of those players who can provide the little bit of the fatherly feel to the squad.
Yeah, and also just that discipline and composure of seeing through games. You know, when we are in a bit of a precarious situation in a game, for example, if you go back to the Sunderland game, you know, we were 2-0 up, Liverpool were 2-0 up, and we just needed some cool, calm heads to stay focused and, you know, stay within the game and sort of see through the result. And even when it went to 2-1 and Liverpool conceded through a set piece, just some assured bodies and heads to make sure we don't suffer any further. And I think that's what we're lacking, just that concentration, just that experience. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be Premier League proven experience, just the experience of having somebody who can deal with that kind of pressure. And it sort of elevates off the youngsters, because I feel like because there is such a lack of experience and an older, wiser head within this Liverpool squad, there's immense pressure on the youngsters.
And you can inspire through experience, you can also inspire through greatness. And if Daniel Sturridge can keep fit, he's the latter, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. He's your game winner right there. We spoke about him earlier in the week and why he's so vital to this Liverpool side, to the setup. We as Liverpool fans talk about how blunt we look up top, and we look like a completely different prospect with him there. And he sort of brings the best out of our attacking midfielders as well. They almost enjoy playing with him, and he's an absolute nightmare for any opposition defender, because he is our genuine world-class player when fit, second to Aguero. I do believe that.
Let's just bring David back in here. What isn't nice this season is when we've got these great strikers, Lukaku, Sturridge, but there's an underlying story that rumbles on and on about, are they going to be here next season? Lukaku, will he be signed by another club for a lot of money? Sturridge, is he unhappy because fans aren't trusting him? They're sort of the storylines that you don't want. You know, if you went back 20 years or more and you had your rushes and your sharps, and I don't want to become nostalgic. But, you know, those stories didn't exist in that way, did they? You just thought, they're arse, they're staying, they're going to score goals for us.
I agree with both points, but what I would say is, both of us, I had this conversation going on the bus to Stoke the other day, and the kids are all kicking off. No one's ever happy at Everton, see. So now you've got Stones and Lukaku. The kids turn around and say, if we don't win nothing or get in Europe, they'll get off. And I say to them, but this manager has bought better footballers for Everton, pounds per capita spent, than anybody.
Well, that's fine, but you don't want to lose him.
No,
though,
so what you'd do is you'd say, you've got to trust Jürgen Klopp's your manager. I've got no interest in Liverpool FC whatsoever, but teams were talking about it.
Yeah, you trust him.
You would absolutely trust him and say to them, if Daniel Sturridge wants to walk away from that, well, that's up to Daniel Sturridge. That does not change the fact that another Daniel Sturridge sitting around Europe says, I'll go and have that shit.
But they're not readily available, are they?
Well, I don't know. He went and found Lukaku in Chelsea's second team, playing for West Bromwich Albion. And that's all I'll say to you. He went and found him and seen the potential in him and said, he's worth the money. He's worth it. I'll give you another one. He's not a striker. But I look, personally, myself, who sees footballers every week live, home and away every week, I looked at that Butland the other day and thought, that kid's going to make a goalkeeper. He let 3 goals in, by the way, in the game I was watching him. But I fancied him.
But he's long been tipped, hasn't he? Nina, for you, Sturridge essential or not that he's here longer term?
It's absolutely essential. I completely agree with what's just been said there. He is so important to us. And I know there's a few Liverpool fans who would like to see him gone. Sort of cut your losses now. He's never fit. There's so many questions regarding his fitness, but my biggest nightmare as a Liverpool fan would be we cut our losses, we sell him, he goes to another club, and he miraculously makes a recovery from all his injuries, and he becomes this absolute world-class goal-scoring machine. And I'm sat here crying again over another one that got away. I can't deal with that. And I think as well, another thing that you need to remember with, just briefly on Jurgen Klopp, his background is sports science, and I think what is really refreshing is the fact that this manager has not felt the need to force him or rush him back, which has, I think, previously happened with the previous regime, where it was almost like, I'm under pressure here. I know what, I'll throw on my ace, Daniel Sturridge, and play a game and become injured. And I think the patience with Daniel Sturridge is absolutely crucial for Liverpool for Jurgen Klopp and Daniel Sturridge in the long run.
Nina, brilliant to hear from you. And you can catch more of Nina via a million podcasts that she does with a whole lot of people around the world via the Anfield Index. Got a great app and a website as well. We'll talk to you again soon, Nina.
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. That's Nina Kauser and David Fahili. That was Fan Friday. Thanks, David. Great to see you.
You're very welcome.
This is Radio City Talk.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.